Welcome to Enlighten My Loafers. I'm your host, Brett White, and this is a special, totally different episode, a season finale mailbag episode. And I'm here with my producer, Ben Regib.
Hey, Brett.
What's up?
Not a lot.
Yeah, thank you so much for coming on the show.
Oh, thanks for having me.
After spending 2 months launching a podcast, building the website, updating the RSS feed, dealing with the half dozen or dozen different podcast distributors and all their different requirements.
Not even a half dozen. And honestly,
really?
I think
I was trying to really hype it up and be like, you were doing like 12 different feeds.
Oh, is that? I was about to say that, like, I think compared to a lot of people with the producer title, I think I do very little work. So,
well, I think the most important role of a producer is to be like, hey, calm down.
Right. I'm glad that I can help with that.
Yeah, which, you know, we both do that. We both do the calm down thing because I am a person that likes biting off way more than they can chew at all times. So when I'm left unchecked, things go crazy. So yeah, it's great to have you on the show. We're just going to go through some listener questions and also just like wrap up the season, the first season, which has been a success.
Yeah.
Yeah, sure.
We got a bunch of good episodes out of it. We got a decent amount of listeners, despite how little we've done to promote it.
So me and Ben and I have known each other for, 2007, 12 years?
Yeah, that sounds about right.
Oh my God, that's insane. We also did a podcast. You produced a podcast, Matt and Brett Love Comics, from, was that 2011 to 2014? Something like that.
Was it that early?
Our last episode was the Guardians of the Galaxy post-movie reaction, which was 2014.
Right.
So I think it might have been like Christmas 2011.
Isn't that when somebody started dating somebody at that? Or no, I'm thinking of Avengers. Never mind.
So we go, and also Ben is now the person that goes to the mall with me the most.
Really?
I think, I mean, like, I usually go alone, or I go with, we go 3 or so years in a row, we've now had annual mall field trips to the Jersey Mills.
Oh, to Jersey.
Jersey Mills, which are super fun, where we bully Ben into buying clothes.
I mean, it's, I'm not uncooperative. It's just
And you're very amenable.
Pushover?
You know? No, it's I don't know, it's fun. I also like people buying things. I'm a capitalist monster in that way.
I will say it is nicer to go, it's depressing to go and go through racks and be like, oh, this is nice, that doesn't fit. Or you need to find something that fits and it doesn't. And so it is nice to be with people that you like.
Yeah.
Regardless of whether you're looking for something or just browsing or whatever.
Well, and it's also good to have people so you can ask questions of like, what does this look like? Is this good? Is this bad? Am I crazy for liking this?
Exactly.
Like, is this? Yeah. So yeah, that does help. And and it's always fun. So it's nice to have you on this journey. I didn't know if any other lessons have been imparted. I've learned plenty, I think.
Mm-hmm.
I think I have. Which we will get to at the end with the Challenge My Loafers segment.
Oh, okay. Oh, so we have to hold out. Okay, so maybe we should get to the, mailbag.
Yeah, jump right in.
All right, so I'm going to open up the mailbag. Open sound.
Hold on.
What sound? Oh.
Just a lot of Velcro. three times. That was stupid. Anyway.
All right, we'll put that in. Season 2, we'll invest. Was that Foley artist?
Yeah, Foley artist.
We'll get a real Foley artist to do this. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay, so we have a bunch of questions here that people sent in, and I will be, since I'm the less familiar voice, will be the voice of the questioner.
The voice of reason, the voice of the questioner, the voice of authority, the sports authority. Now I'm just free associating. Now, I was saying earlier,
come back from the mall.
Yeah, this is, the listeners are going to finally get to know who I am and my personality when I'm not having to, like, interview someone and let them be the focus. Now, see if this turns everyone off of my... my shenanigans.
Not at all. You're great. So this is... So I'm hoping I say this right. This is... we have a bunch of questions from John T. Reuter, I believe.
Yes.
And he wrote... Okay, so I'm going to go through these one by one. So first was, why clothes? What is it about what we wear that's compelling enough for you to make an entire podcast about it?
most existential question of all. Why the hell are we doing this?
Why are you doing this?
I don't know. Yeah. Well,
so, should I have asked it more sarcastically? What is it about We Wear That's so compelling for you to make a whole podcast about it?
I thought you could also do the Seinfeld, like, what is with clothes that are so compelling? Like, you could do either way. I think that it is, this is the thing that's come up multiple times over the course of the first season one, because it's a question that I've asked people, and I love getting answers, because now I feel like I now know how to answer this question. Or it's like I had an inkling of how to do it, and now just hearing other people reiterate it makes me feel confident in my assumption or my gut answer, which was like, just another form of self-expression.
Mm-hmm.
That's what Jesse Thorne said, that's also what Kelly Sue DeConnick said, and probably some other people. That is just another way of, you know, expressing yourself to the world. It's like the things you like, the jokes you tell, the things you put on, like, they're all part of a package. So I don't feel shame. I guess what I'm getting at is I don't feel shame about expressing myself through my sense of humor or my opinions on TV and movies and talking about TV and movies and stuff, but for some reason talking about clothes feels different.
Talking about it.
I guess maybe that is.
Because those things aren't, like, you don't literally put the movies on your body. Right?
No. Well, like, unless, like, I do have a lot. I'm wearing a Star Wars t-shirt right now.
Okay. So
yeah, that way.
You kind of do. No, but I mean, like, you're not on, your opinions and your jokes are things that you, like, you know, they're not on you all the time when you go out in public.
Right.
Which is one part. But you're talking about clothes, not necessarily.
Because there's a difference between. Because I do often think of, like, when I see, like, well-dressed people on the subway, I do have this ping of doubt in my head of, like, that person is dressed so much better than me. They probably don't have a style podcast. What the hell am I doing? Like, they're like, what gives me the right to talk about this or care? You know, why do I take pictures of myself? Like, but it's also because we've been conditioned to think that the selfie is a bad thing, and like taking mm-hmm. photos of yourself is a thing that, like, teen girls do, and that's bad. The Kelly Sue DeConnick episode gets into a lot of that.
Right, right.
But even, like, so that's why I like it. I like hearing guys like Jesse Thorne, who are just, like, a professional, like, working dad, like, who also likes clothes and takes pictures of himself and also thinks, like, yeah, this is fine. Men can do this. And you don't have to hide your face. You don't have to have, like, a secret Insta that's all for your, like, menswear posts. You can just be honest about it.
Mm-hmm.
And it isn't, like, a feminine thing to do. And if it is a feminine thing to do, that's not bad. Like, that's fine.
Yeah.
So I think that was one of the impetus. And I decided to do it myself because I started listening to a lot of really great menswear podcasts that I like, but I would often, they're over my head, because mm-hmm. again, I'm a person that, like, you know, I'm only like 50 pages into Dressing the Man. I've read almost all of Bruce Boyer's True Style. Like, I'm a novice. So a lot of those podcasts and stuff, those discussions are over my head in terms of, like, this is an expert talking to an expert. And my initial gut reaction was, like, if you're not an expert on a thing, you shouldn't talk about it. Because my previous two podcasts were about comic books and sitcoms, and I'm experts in those, you know, mm-hmm. I have something to say. But then I was like, well, why can't you do a podcast where the point of it is I know nothing and I want to learn? I was like, that's a good hook for a podcast.
Oh, yeah.
And you don't hear it all that often? So I was like, well, I guess I should do it. And also because I specifically, there are people that I want to talk to about clothes they wear, and no one will talk to them about it.
Mm-hmm.
One example, Jared Harris.
So now that you're a couple, like that's what you were, why start it.
Yeah.
But you've been doing it.
Yeah.
So
do I have regrets?
No, not do you have regrets? No, obviously not. But do you feel like you're, are you getting where you thought you would go?
Yeah, I am consistently surprised.
Huh.
Just because I am finding out that other people, other men, think the same way I do.
Mm-hmm.
Which I think is obvious from, like, the menswear podcast that I do listen to. So I knew that they were out there.
Yeah.
But it's just, like, I never knew that, like, I don't know, like, it's great, like, the, like, talking to Brady from UCB, who mm-hmm. was, like, I've been peripherally known for 10 years? But no, it was just cool to be able to talk to people that I've known, like Brady and Jonathan Fernandez, for a long time, but never talked to them about clothes.
Yeah.
It's like, oh, you put as much care into this as I do, and I thought I was weird for doing it. Or people like Jared Harris, who you learn, like, oh, he has opinions.
Mm-hmm.
he has opinions about what he wears. He picks things out for certain reasons. He knows that his clothes tell a story. He loves cufflinks. Like, you know, and that's a thing that they don't ask men on a red carpet. So right. You just kind of assume that, like, all the men on a red carpet just, like, woke up or, like, sleepily fell into a suit and then just, like, shambled to the red carpet with the woman who was wearing a gown that will get asked
but
about.
They'll talk about the gown. No, you're right. And that's definitely a thing where it's, like, all you see are the finished... When all you see are finished products and you don't know what goes into it, right? You just see, like, the final thing. You don't know anything about the process.
Yeah.
And then it does kind of make it... It's intimidating that way. You're like, how did that even...
How did you do this?
How do you even get there? How does that work, right? Which is a perfect segue to John's next question. Because John sent in a bunch. Because he's a real pro.
Super fan. Thank you.
How do you choose an outfit in the morning? What's your goal when you get dressed?
So here's like the basic tea, the tea of it all, I'll spill it, is I determine usually how late do I want to sleep and whether or not I can actually take photos of an outfit that morning.
Do you do that before you go to sleep?
No, or? Like when I'm waking up, I will tell myself, am I turning a look today?
Interesting.
And if I am, I know I need to actually get up at like 6:50 or 7 so I can like shower. And the getting dressed, the putting clothes on doesn't take that much longer.
Mm-hmm. Putting it on, yeah.
Yeah, putting it on, but it's like the effort or like, it's not like I dread putting on a shirt and tie because I love it. Like it's not less comfortable for me.
It is literally
the coming to my office, setting up the iPhone with the timer and like, you know, opening up my blind to get the natural light. That takes a little bit of time. It is one of those like, do I want to sleep 5 minutes more?
This is fast. This is the kind of thing that fascinates me. So this is like the alarm goes off, right?
Yeah.
You have an alarm?
I usually wake up before the alarm though.
That's good. Good circadian rhythm, right?
Yeah.
So it's like you wake up. So in that moment when you're like, just getting your consciousness's return, you're working through, is this going to be the... Are you going to do all that stuff today or not?
Yeah,
I think that's actually really important to call out because I think that sort of thing is like... Because the flip side of that is you're saying you give yourself permission sometime to not do it.
Yeah.
You feel crappy. You overslept. And you say, you know what? I'm not going
to
do that today.
Yeah, I just need to put on a button-down shirt and jeans and go to work and we're fine. But then I also do feel shitty for not taking pictures of those days just because... I try to be maybe I'm over aware of Instagram and the curated life that Instagram puts out there.
Sure.
And I like to pride myself on being a mostly honest or like unfiltered version of myself at all times. Mm-hmm. Like my Twitter feed is not jokes. Like I was a comedian for a long time, but it was always just like, I never wanted to put the pressure of myself on like my Twitters for jokes. Maybe that's why I don't have a job writing for Jimmy Fallon. Like, you know,
yeah.
But I never wanted to put the pressure on that. Like, this is also where I'm going to complain about things, just be silly or serious, whatever. Mm-hmm. And so I try to do that with all my social media. Like, my Instagram feed is not just photos of outfits. It's also photos of a lot of action figures or weird shit that I see. So I do sometimes wonder if I should actually, for like a week, take a photo of everything I wear every day just to dispel the notion that maybe I am dressing in, you know... a cool shirt or, you know, ascot or whatever every day.
That's interesting. I'll make a note of that.
That might be the point of a challenge in season two. I don't know.
So on a day
that I'm like, I am going to turn a look today, which is literally because that's the phrase I use in my head. Usually I spend my time in the shower figuring out what I want to wear. I also always religiously check the weather app because that also just determines what I'm going to wear. If it's going to rain,
right.
I know I'm going to have to carry an umbrella and then also my messenger bag. So, like, that might shift.
Well, that's obvious. But does that actually affect then what you put on?
Well, also, like, temperature-wise. Like, if it's, you know, hot or cold, that really depends. Like, can I wear a jacket today? Mm-hmm. No. So I have to figure out, you know, summer was always hard for me until I did a challenge and experimented with wearing what I'm wearing now, which is a t-shirt with a shirt over it. Because I never did that. I thought that was like, it made me feel awkward. And then a challenge was like, step out of your comfort zone. So I was
really? That's funny. I'm doing the same thing right now. And partially, I felt like I should try a little harder than I usually do.
It is a dressed down version of trying harder, but it's literally...
No, that's a way you're starting from.
Yeah. We meet in the middle. But I think that it's because I did it when I was in elementary school, because Jonathan Taylor Thomas, I think, did it in the Home Improvement.
Oh, yeah.
And I would feel, but I would all, it's that thing of when you're trying a new thing and you feel weird about it and self-conscious, mm-hmm. and you can either push through that or just, like, be like, reject, no.
Yeah.
And when I was in elementary school, I was like, no, I don't want to do this. It mm-hmm. feels weird to wear a shirt over a shirt. With it opened up, like, not buttoned.
Yeah.
And so I never did it until, like, this summer. I was like, oh, this is how I can do, air quote, turn a look in the summer. And it also makes all the I have so many t-shirts, and I don't wear t-shirts. Like, oh, this is the way I can actually wear t-shirts again and feel like I'm doing something more than just wearing a t-shirt.
Yeah.
So then
Yeah, no, that's the thing. I wear a lot of t-shirts, and this is my way of being like, all right, I'm going to do a bit more than wear a t-shirt.
Exactly, and it's good. Yeah, it's a good effort. I like that. Successful.
So I want to make sure we get A to Z. So wake up, decide you're going to turn a look.
It's out there now.
No, I like it. Yeah. I like it. No, and it's a good way to like, it's, yeah, I think it's good to put a label on it that's like, this is a thing and it's not just like,
I'm doing it.
Gonna, whatever. So you think about what to wear in the shower.
Yeah.
So as opposed, because I would probably like stare at my closet, right?
Now I try to like, so like my husband is a good cook. Like he's a baker and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And he's good with like a palate, and he knows, like we will watch food shows and he'll be like, oh, I bet that tastes like that tastes good. And I'm like, how do you know? And it's like, well, it's because it's these ingredients mixed together. That's what. And I was like, my brain has no recall for ingredients.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know. Like, I can't even like come up with an example because I'm such a food dummy.
Mm-hmm.
But I can do that with clothes. Like, I know what I have, and so I can kind of like mentally go through what I have. And I usually, this is also if I'm not.
But you don't think about it as like, these are the, oh, every single shirt. You're thinking, are you, or do you think of it in sort of like groups or categories?
Well, it's usually, I try to think of like, what is the statement piece of today? Like, is there a new tie that I want to wear for the first time? Is there a new shirt I want to wear for the mm-hmm. first time? And then, because I figured that, I started doing that more recently maybe, that's an easier way to be like, oh, I got this new X-Men tie. The point of this like...
But you pick a thing, right, and then nail that down. And then
yeah, and then like what goes around that, like what colors go with that, you know, what is the weather today? Am I trying to do... You know, what shoes am I going to wear with it? Like, if I'm going to wear tennis shoes, if I'm going to wear my Converse, it needs to be, like, chinos or jeans. But if I'm wearing, like, loafers or my Sperry's, then I can wear, like, nice, like, dress slacks. Like, it kind of, like, process of eliminations down. I guess it's, like, kind of, like, Guess Who, maybe, in a way. Like, I don't know, like,
yeah.
You decide, okay, I'm going to wear this tie, so that immediately folds down half of my shirt options. Cool. Now I want to wear these pants. Cool. That folds down these other two shirt options, etc.
Right.
And so I spend my shower doing that, and then I'll put it on and then like see like, did this work as well as it did in my head, and then what do I need to switch out?
Gotcha.
And hopefully, usually, thinking about it that much in the shower will make the trying on process go a lot smoother, and I won't have to like do multiple like shirts and pants and really waste all a lot of time.
Are there times when you like, you've sort of done that and have not like hit a wall and could not make up your mind, or like hit a thing where it's like wasn't,
yeah all the time.
Do you have like do you just like flip a coin, or you bail and put a t-shirt on, or like what do you do?
No, I mean like I will just go to like the safety thing. Usually it is me trying to figure out how to make a neckerchief work, to be honest. That's the thing, is like I don't,
sure,
usually me leaving the house is going to work.
Yeah.
And my work is it's a desk job where I watch TV and movies all day and, like, write about them and, like, do, you know, it's not a forward face. Like, I'm usually not interfacing with people.
Yeah.
Other than my team.
Yeah.
And the floor that I'm on now is a lot more businessy, like, upper business casual.
Mm-hmm.
Like, a lot of, like, men have to wear, like, a lot of the other men in other departments have to wear, like, a dress shirt and dress pants and, you know, that kind of shit. And so, like, I don't have any restrictions on what I can wear. So I am always trying, but it's always like the weird push and pull of like everyone else on the floor is very like corporate business cash, very Dunder Mifflin Scranton. How weird am I going to feel wearing a jaunty neckerchief to work today? You know?
Guess what? Next question. Totally channeled it.
Oh, I like this.
This is John again. A lot of the advice for guys about style seems to basically be, how do I stand out while still mostly blending in? But for some of us, we want to be bold and adventurous. What's some advice for that guy? How do you balance the pressure to be tasteful with the type of bold statements I think you enjoy too?
Oh, yeah, which is exactly what I do. Well, you have to think of where you're going, or I think of where I'm going.
Do you feel, so like, I don't know if you've, I forget if you've gotten to this on the podcast before, but this was the thing, right, where you the floor you used to work on was like mostly journalists.
And it was all editorial. So it was all like, they ran the gamut of like 60-year-old men who still wore like full tweed suits to work. Yeah. To like younger gender non-conforming people who like wore whatever the fuck they want, to like the people in the style closet that were there to like dress models that would cut, like it was truly all over the map.
And then like a while, how long ago at this point? Like a month?
About 6 months.
6 months ago,
yeah.
They moved your group to a different floor,
yeah.
And now you're all with like sales and accounting clothes.
Yeah, and so it does feel like I used to have a fashion rival on the old floor that I would try to. One up every day.
Oh, we should book him.
No, he is on my short list of guests.
Oh, yeah?
Because
okay.
He did approach me at the Christmas party to say, I like your style, and I felt like I'd won a battle.
Right.
So weird. I would always be like, oh, you're wearing a suit today. And I would get so mad of like, oh, he wore a suit. I didn't wear a suit. I don't have suits to wear. Oh, like, because his fits so well. He's got such good socks. Like, that kind of shit.
Yeah.
So do you feel like I don't have that anymore.
Yeah, is that move, so aside from just even him, do you think, has the move affected you, even though it's like, you don't work with these people, they're not going to separate you?
No. Yeah, I mean, like,
it
does feel, yeah, because there was a bit of, well, like, you know, at the old floor, I was, at times, specifically dressing to impress one person that I was having a one-sided feud with, and it worked. But on the new floor, it does feel like I do struggle with feeling like the weirdo, because I'm, you know, going 75% Paul F. Tompkins to a office job, you know.
Yeah.
I think I try to balance it out by being a guy that wants to stand out but not stand out too much is a delicate balance, and I think that I try to pull it off by just picking one thing that's going to be a crazy thing.
Uh-huh.
Like you know, wear an ascot but then wear it with like, I'm just pointing in general to,
yeah,
like,
I was like, those are books, not,
yeah,
those are
books over there. Wear an ascot with like a white button down shirt, a navy blazer, and I don't know, like black dress pants. This is where my shortcomings come up. But yeah, or gray dress pants. So, like, the ascot is the statement piece. No one in the year 2019 wears an ascot to an office anymore, but I will. So, like, that'll
be... But that's not obvious. So you're saying, basically, you pick the thing that is the most unusual first.
Yeah.
And work your way down from there. As opposed to saying, start with, like, a basic thing and then find something to accent.
Oh, no, I always start with, like, what is the crazy thing I want to wear?
Yeah.
To this more mundane place. And that also, like, I think this is where men have a good advantage.
Mm-hmm.
I'm trying to think. Not being a woman or not being, you know, a person that, you know, wears gendered female clothing all the time. It seems like they have, like, a dress and then, like, some jewelry and stuff. But, like, the main trunk of the body is usually like one. It can be just one pattern, one, you know, thing.
Mm-hmm.
And I do think a perk of menswear or whatever is like, you can wear a shirt and pants, but then you also have things like the watch, the pocket square, lapel pin. There are all these like little like things throughout your body that you can stay. Like, I'll wear a very like basic office look, but then I'll wear like a Drag Race Snatch Game pin, you know, which is like a little bit weirder. A lot gayer, and it pops a little bit more. And so that's how I try to balance the going to work look. But then if I know that I'm interviewing a drag queen that day, it face to face.
Yeah.
Or if I'm going to DragCon or some other like very gay event, that's when I just go all out.
Right.
Like, and I throw all caution to the wind, and I will go to work in my full, you know, fully made to measure double breasted green suit and be like, yes, I'm living.
Have you ever misjudged or miscalculated and gone, like, did you ever day you went into work and you felt like you overdid it or overshot when you, like,
No.
You had that feeling, even if you temporarily had that feeling, even if you feel like you shouldn't have had that feeling?
No, I don't. I know, because I think that what Jonathan Fernandez said in his episode really spoke to me, of like the quote of like, if you're a guy in a tux at the pool party, like, don't be the guy in the tux at the pool party, but no one's going to say you look bad in the tux. Like, you still look great in the tux.
Yeah.
If you show up to a formal event in jean cutoffs, everyone's going to be like, you look bad because you are wearing a bit, like, you know?
Yeah.
So that's the thing. Like, when I get dressed up and I feel good and look good, I tend to not, like, I did a press junket for The Boys, the Amazon Prime superhero show starring Carl Urban and Jack Quaid. And I went to that wearing my, again, my green double-breasted suit that I spent a lot of money on. So that's why I mention it a lot, and that's why I wear it a lot. But again, like, I wore a full suit to a press junket where, like, you don't have to do that. Mm. Like, even the celebrities, like, the actors there are wearing, like, jeans and a button-down. Like, they, you know, they probably have not seen a stylist that day kind of deal.
Right.
And I'm there really dressed up, and you get a lot of comments and stuff like, oh, wow, you look great. I'm like, yeah. Yeah, thank you. Like, thank you. I appreciate that. And I guess I could have felt weird about it, but I was like, no, like, I want to do this.
Yeah.
So.
No, that's, probably most of the comments are going to be compliments, right? Which you always feel weird about getting, but nobody's like, really? Are you wearing that?
You look too good to be here. Why?
Yeah.
Instead, they're like, oh, wow, you look good. Yeah. So, I think, like, find your bold statement piece and then build a more and use that to, and then build a more, casual or like a nondescript thing around it. Let it pop. Don't be afraid.
Which probably lets that thing pop more. But I think, at the end of the day, like, maybe don't worry about blending in as much. You probably worry more about that than people think that you need to blend in.
Right. Yes. Yeah.
Anyway, let's see somebody else here from the mailbag. This is from Filson Schmilson, is that really his name?
No, it might be a mention to Harry Nilsson's Nilsson Schmilson, the album from Harry Nilsson.
Oh, maybe. Okay. I'm just reading what's on the thing here.
Gotta get out.
Hey, Brett, enjoying your venture into podcasts.
Thank you.
As a fellow comedy nerd who wants to dress on his own terms, I generally go for traditional jackets paired with patterns. It's more or less been my go-to in colder months, or in any month in which layering is possible for that matter. Having said that, I have an obsession with nabbing that perfect light blue shirt. I have numerous, but sometimes they sit while the patterns have their day in the sun, or vice versa. Well, my question is for you. What menswear staples do you find it difficult to assimilate into your wardrobe?
I have the exact same problem, and it is literally everything that is normal. That is my problem.
Wait, like, what's...
Finding a blue shirt.
Yeah.
Like, finding times to wear a white shirt or a blue shirt. And I think I said this on the podcast I think it might have been the Brady episode, where, like, I should theoretically have more than one white button-down shirt. Because you wear a white... Like, you can wear a white button-down shirt every day, and no one's ever going to clock it, because it's a white button-down shirt. But I have one Oxford... One, like, dressier one, neither of them fit well. And I just got a custom-made one, finally. But it has French cuffs, which means it can't be worn every day. But I should theoretically have at least, I don't know, two or three white button-down Oxfords, just so, like, when one is dirty, like, or these shouldn't get run. But I don't ever make time to buy doubles of things. So that is the thing that I have a really hard time working into. And also, specifically, like, solid-color ties.
Mm-hmm.
All of my ties have crazy patterns and shit on them. And then also my shirts do. And then also my pants are crazy colors. I will only gravitate towards a thing that looks insane. Right now, I don't have a pair of nice navy dress slacks.
Okay.
Which I feel like navy dress slacks, everyone should have.
Is this like a discipline thing that, like, when you go shopping?
It's like eating your vegetables.
Yeah, like you need to remember to pick up vegetables when you go shopping and not just get excited by all the candy.
Yeah, because I do own a pair of jewel tone purple slacks. I own pink slacks. I own maroon slacks. I own like all this other stuff, but I don't own a lot of just like, I don't have like brown chinos. I should, but you better believe I have, like, emerald green,
Right.
Yeah.
You need more background to go with your foreground items.
So I need to do that.
I don't know if I'm misinterpreting Phil's question, because it sounds like he's saying he has a bunch of, well, he says, he has numerous perfect light blue shirts, but sometimes they sit while the patterns have their day in the sun or vice versa.
Yeah.
It feels like he's talking also about the...
Well, I guess it's also, like, the discipline to actually wear those things. To, like, maybe someday...
I mean, is that actually...
down.
Is that a problem? If it's worth, like... You know?
I guess it isn't a problem. I guess it's only a problem if you want it to be a problem.
Like, it sounds like he's saying he feels like he maybe should rotate through these things more often.
Yeah, you know, if you don't want to, don't.
Yeah.
Unless someone else is telling you to, do whatever you want. That's what I try to do. But it does also... You do feel this weird pressure. Like, now that I follow just a ton more, like, menswear... people on Instagram who aren't influencers. A lot of them seem to be like Swedish lawyers who just also do this. Like, and then in the morning they take professional looking photos every day and then go to work and they always look impeccable every day. But it gets me in my head of just like, oh, I want to be, I wish I could look like that. I want all those clothes.
Well, go to Swedish law school.
I know. It does make me, like, I wish I'd gone to Harvard so I could write for SNL, and I wish I'd become a lawyer so I could have her nicer clothes. Like.
Okay, next one. Rat Lad.
All right.
So this is a question for, well, this was directed for,
read the question, then I can read the answer, because okay, outsource the answer to someone that is an expert.
Okay, so the question, which is actually not really a question, it's an exclamation point, but we'll allow it. Clothing fit for extreme pear shapes. Big, womanly hips.
In quotes.
Tiny shoulders make off the rack hard.
Yep, they do, and so I don't have that problem, but we had an expert... in extended sizes clothing, Bruce Sturgill, the founder of Chubster. So I reached out to him to get an answer because I like connecting questions with answers. And I also like the idea of having a pool of, using Enlighten My Loafers to create a pool of knowledge to pull from, etc. So the answer from Bruce, I'm blessed with the thickest of thighs, so I know how much of a pain it is to find things that fit. For jeans, look for brands selling an athletic fit. Levi's makes the 541, which offers more room in the seat and thighs, which is helpful if you've got bigger hips. DXL also offers an athletic fit jean that could work. With shirts, take a look at the newest fit from Bonobos called the Prominent Fit. It offers a bit more room for those of us who are round. I don't know what sizes you need, but Bonobos goes up to 4X, and the Prominent Fit is roomer without sacrificing style. And I've also had some luck with both tops and bottoms from JCPenney's Foundry Big and Tall line. So, the Levi's 541, DXL, Bonobos Prominent Fit, and JCPenney's Foundry Big and Tall line.
That's some good, good specifics.
The thing I loved about the Bruce Sturgill episode is that, like, he didn't come prepared. It's just, like, natural of just, like, he has all the brands and, like, the places to go just in his head. Mm-hmm. Probably because with Chubster, he writes about them all the time and now models for a lot of them. So, it's really cool that he just can just rattle that stuff off. It's kind of like if you were, like, I want to read the best Cecilia Reyes X-Men stories. And I would be like, Uncanny X-Men number 351. Like, where she treats
Pyro. How do you know that number? Yeah. No, this was actually gratifying for me because I'm pretty sure I'm wearing... I, like, happen to find my way into Levi's 541s myself. I don't know if this is weird. Yeah, I don't know, on your, that like, oh, I happen to have found the jeans that he's talking about here, and like, so maybe this stuff isn't all totally alien, it's just like, it's all there, it's just,
yeah,
look a little, you know, try a little harder, I guess, or,
look at the world around
like, I don't have, the point is, I don't need to go any crazy different place to find this stuff.
No.
It's all...
Yeah, that was the cool thing about the Jonathan Fernandez episode, too, is finding out that a lot of the stuff he buys is just from Express and H&M, which are, you know, they're, like, very affordable, fast fashion kind of places, but, like, he puts them all together in a way that makes them look like $1 million. And I think that's super cool because the most gatekeeper-y, depressing thing about caring about clothes is... elitism and prices.
Mm-hmm.
And like being like, oh, I really like this brand, and then you go and it's like, it's $300 for a button down shirt. And the thing is I think that to those people that isn't a lot of money. It's like, to me, that's one shirt a month, like that, or God, maybe even 1.5 months. Like, that's a lot of money for me.
That's a lot so
it's kind of discouraging. So I like it when we find just like mall brands are nice in a way.
Okay. So, it's September. October is nearing.
Yes.
You're thinking of Halloween, but we're not going to talk about Halloween costumes.
Ugh, I could.
Okay, we could. Maybe that should be an episode. But, this question is from, I want to say it right, like, Akiwal.
Because it's,
I overdid it there. I put in extra syllables.
Akiwal. It's my friend Jonathan Waldrop, so the wall is that. Aki is... I think it might be a college football reference. Sorry, Jonathan.
Oh, okay. But this is like it's a made-up name. It's not his name.
No.
Oh, okay.
No.
Yeah. All right. Whatever then. I don't care. Akiwal.
What's good fall wear for a guy who doesn't want to come off as plain in social stitches?
Social stitches.
Sitches.
This is...
Sitches is in situations.
Yes, situations. This is the best, because fall is the best. Fall is the best time for menswear. It's like, if you don't want to come off as... What terminology did he use? You don't want to come off as
Come
basic.
Off as plain.
Plain.
But plain is in quotes.
Dude, well, Jonathan, I know you love corduroys, and honestly, like, pairing those corduroys with... I think incorporating more purples and greens into a fall wardrobe is how to pop. Because when you think of like a fall is very, it's very orange, yellow, brown, mm-hmm. Forest green. It's a lot of like that. I think that purple complements a lot of that stuff. So I think like dark brown corduroys with like a purple striped shirt, that's a good way to pop. Purple pocket square. I also like the thing that I love about fall, it's very texture. I think getting some knit ties is a really good way. Like the knit tie with like the square bottom that they might have an actual name. I don't know.
I know what you're talking about.
Yeah. I think that like that's a good way to spice up. It's a little bit different than just wearing
pumpkin spice up.
To pumpkin spice up a fall wardrobe. And again, this is like super basic shit. I don't know. I think like people that actually know what they're talking about are like, what the fuck is he talking about? But I do think that cardigans. Get more cardigans. Get more sleeveless cardigans. I think a sleeveless cardigan is a little bit different.
A vest?
Well, yeah, it's like a vest that buttons up, but it's basically like a cardigan, but take off the sleeves.
And you'd wear that with like a long sleeve shirt.
Yeah. Or no shirt. Go real rebellious. Yeah.
It's, again, where are you going?
Yeah, that and a leather jacket. But no, I think that's a good way to like layer, and it's also good for like a nice turning of the seasons because it's not another layer on your arms. I guess you can also like roll up those sleeves.
It seems layers in general is like good opportunity. I mean, layers means more opportunity to wear.
Yeah,
mix different things. Yeah,
and also I think that if you don't want to blend in, I also think that purposely mismatching a sweater and a shirt that you're wearing under it can also be interesting. Like two clashy colors or like a weird patterned sweater, but with like a... I'm trying to think of examples that I've done. A lot of my sweaters are... Like, I will sometimes wear like... I have a black shirt from Bonobos that has like pink roses on them. Like, that's the pattern.
Okay.
And I'll wear that with a crew neck sweater. So not the V-neck, but like the round neck. So you just see like... the tip of the collar, and the tip of the collar is black with roses on it. But, like, then the sweater is, like, navy. Or, like, the sweater is, like, a solid.
Huh, yeah.
So it's, like, a nice, like...
As opposed to a plain shirt with a pattern on the sweater.
Yeah. Or, like, a plain shirt with a plain sweater. Like, well, that's a nice little way to pop. But I also think, like, look to the fall icons. Your Mr. Feeneys from Boy Meets World. your Cheers-era Frasier Cranes. Not Frasier-era Frasier Crane, but, like, latter Cheers when he had the beard... That era, Frasier Crane.
Post Lilith.
Yeah.
Pre Seattle.
Yes. Yeah. Who are the other fall? Oh, I'm just. I should look at my TV wall. I mean, Bob Hartley. You can never go wrong. Bill McNeil from News Radio. Now I'm just answering.
Well, how are these? You're calling these fall? Is this because the sitcoms premiere in the fall? Is that what you're thinking?
Well, there's something very professorial. Like the fall is an excuse for all men to dress
school.
Like a. College professor.
Yeah, back to school.
And, you know, get out your elbow patches, get out your Argyle. Like, I honestly think that just going whole hog into that 1989 college professor look is a great way to stand out.
That's a very...
Well, I can't go anytime before the 90s. I will also say Race Dance and Ghostbusters, the first one. Race Dance is a fashion icon of that movie.
And sorry, to be clear, you're saying Ray... Stance,
yes.
Not Race Dance.
No, not Ray. No. Raymond Stance, played by Dan Aykroyd. Because that's, again, that's like khakis paired with like a nice blue polo shirt and then like a toggle, like a toggle overcoat. Like it's real. Like it's, he wears so many good clothes in that
You're
movie.
One of the few people who thinks that movie and can think of them wearing anything but the uniform.
I know, no, like I, because when I watch it, I'm just like, I want all of their jackets. Like they all have such good jackets. Because, again, they're all, like, college staff at the beginning of the movie. So, yeah.
That's true.
Yeah. So, yeah, I need to... All right. Yeah, fall is great.
Yeah. If there's not a good enough idea there,
me spewing a bunch of pop culture.
Comment
references.
On Instagram. Okay. All right. Back to John. I know you did not want to not answer this. Brett, can you name your top five fictional style icons?
This is a thing that I do all the time. So, I have a list. I will say number five is Felix Unger, as played by Tony Randall on The Odd Couple.
Oh, that's a solid, yeah.
Because he wears a lot of, like, very good textures, very loud, very, like, tailored button-down shirts that have crazy patterns on them. Also, really good loud blazers. Loves a good, huge neckerchief. Like, I love lots of good double-breasted suits. Very weirdly, like, 70s mod-influenced. Loved him.
This is funny, because he's not, like... I mean, he's supposed to be the boring one.
Yeah.
Do you think that's a case of, like, does he look... Is he more... He was more distinctive in hindsight, or do you think it's like...
I think he was his job was fashion photographer, so I think that it was a deliberate choice that he was also a fussy, loud dresser.
Ah, I forgot about that.
Yeah. He was a photographer, but I think he mostly did fashion stuff. So that's five. Four will be Harry Crane.
Harry Crane.
From Mad Men, played by Rich Sommer.
Okay.
Because he starts out boring.
Mm-hmm.
He starts out just wearing, like, he wears a lot of, like, really those bad 60s bow ties that are very, very thin. I don't like those. But when he becomes head of TV, and this is, like, latter, like, the second half of Mad Men, and he goes full, like, narcissist, megalomaniac doofus,
mm-hmm.
and he goes super LA, and he just starts wearing the most gaudy, again, like, neckerchiefs, plaid pants, mustard-colored shirts, just, like, big, big, thick... black frame glasses that I want to get a pair of huge ass glasses. Damn it, I want it so bad. And it just, I just love it. I just adore all the shit he wears at the end.
So I guess a listen for Phil about one of this. Oh, no, that was the wrong one.
Oh, John? Or no, for.
If you want to stand out, lean into your megalomania.
Yes. Yeah. Number three, I will say the fictional version of Adam Conover from Adam Ruins Everything. Because it is a character. Because, again, like, he is actually how I ideally want to dress in 2019. And he is actually, of the list of people on here, he's the only thing that actually exists in the year 2019. Because everyone else is a period piece or an old show. Okay. Just because he dresses like a pansexual game show host. It's like, it's just the, it's my wardrobe. It is the shirt is loud, the pants and the jacket don't match, and there's a pocket square and way too many accessories, and that is, but it's all still classic menswear silhouettes of like a shirt and a tie and, you know, and like not getting too crazy, but it's everything in the lines is crazy. And I love it. I love it so much. And I don't know, maybe we'll hear more about all of that in season two. I don't know.
I don't know, maybe. Who knows?
Oh, God.
Who knows?
Number two is obviously Lane Price from Mad Men, as played by Jared Harris,
mm-hmm.
who I talked to on this very podcast. Because, again, like, I'm an Englishman at heart. which, I mean, also, my ancestors all go back to England. I've done the research.
All right.
All four sides of my family, you know, both sides of my parents, we all come back, came over on the ships, etc. I'm a son of the revolution, so I guess I'm more American than English, but whatever. I feel a very tight kinship with the English people. This is so stupid. So I love everything Lane Price wears. I love how fussy and uptight and incredibly dapper English everything he wears is. The waistcoat's just, like, so great.
This might be an episode thing by itself. Like, the whole idea... The American idea of England.
Yeah.
And how that relates to fashion, I think, would be an interesting thing. Because it's not... My mother is English.
Yeah.
As in, directly.
Yes.
Like, immigrated from here. And it's, like... It's not... And it's not like the stuff you're talking about is wrong, but, like...
More to it than the very specific, like...
Not to make this all about me, no. John Steed. It's like, my experience has always been kind of, like... I used to have this really embarrassing... Or be embarrassed of this hang-up... Because, like, people would talk so romantically about England, and my experience of it was we would go, like, I was in London for, like, you know, when we would land at the airport, And then if we went there, if we didn't go through Manchester, and then we would go out to like a small town, and then I'd be with my grandma.
Yeah.
And, like, that was England for me. It was like this town where my grandma lived and like, or my grandparents
and
lived.
And I got to go to London last year, and I got to go to Mark Powell Bespoke, which is where Martin Freeman gets a lot of his stuff. And I got to talk to Mark Powell himself about like Martin Freeman. Like, it was just, mm-hmm. that was, and then I got to like also wander around to like all the like English shops. I didn't go to Savile Row though, because I didn't like know where it was, or I found Carnaby Street though, so the mod in me was very happy, you know. So that is my idea of England. I, oh my lord, I want to do a London episode of this podcast if I can get back to London anytime. That Ooh. Would be amazing. Let's Indiegogo that.
Yeah, I was gonna say, we'll do it.
Yeah, and then number one is no surprise to literally anyone. It is Bob Hartley from the Bob Newhart Show. You know, if you follow the Instagram, you know that I have invited Bob Newhart to be a guest on the podcast, and he politely declined in a very sweet way from his personal email account, because somehow my life has taken a turn where I know Bob Newhart's personal email. I don't know. This is so freaking weird. But like the clothes that he wears in that show are so good. A lot of like turtlenecks, double-breasted blazers, plaid pants, so many plaid pants. Great, just like full suits. He wears a kimono to bed in one episode because he likes it. Like, when he goes on vacation, he wears, like, when he goes to, like, a winter lodge, he wears this amazing, like, big fur collar jacket, huge cable knit sweater, like, powder blue bell bottoms. And it's like, he is a man in his mid-40s who is, his character game is that he is mild-mannered and persnickety and a little bit curmudgeonly, but they dress him like a real clothes horse. And he's dressed even better than all the men around him.
Wait, dress him like a what? Like
a clothes horse. Someone that hoards clothes. Oh, yeah. Always wears a pinky ring, a bracelet, and a watch, and like a necklace. Like, he always has jewelry on. And I just love what that says about him as a character, that he never talks about clothes. It's never a big deal for him. But the thing that it connotates, or like the vibe you get, is he cares. And as someone that cares, I love that he cares. Or how I read my headcanon of the Bob Newhart Show is that he cares. But also the fact that he, like, I don't know if this is a thing that people did in the 60s and 70s, but he comes home from his like job as a psychologist, and he takes off his suit coat or his sport coat, and mm-hmm. then he puts on a cardigan. And that is what he wears until it's time to go to bed. And I noticed this when I was going through and documenting everything he wore, is that, like, oh, the home scenes, he's wearing the exact same outfit, except now he's traded out the jacket for a cardigan.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, is that what men used to do? Like, where did that decision come from? Because when I get home from work, I take everything off and I put on shorts and a t-shirt, and I'm good. And so it's weird that he comes home. He doesn't even take off his shoes.
I mean, you know who pops into my head when you're talking about coming
Mr. Rogers.
Yeah, exactly.
Exactly. So I'm wondering, yeah, because does he put on a cardigan when he gets home, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. And what is he, takes off a suit coat?
Yeah, like that's what I'm thinking. Like, I don't remember as clearly.
I think he
was wearing a blazer or what.
So it's weird. And then to go to bed, he puts on a full, like, sometimes a, like, silk pajama set.
Bob,
like,
Hartley, you mean?
Yeah, Bob Hartley.
We don't know
what Mr. Rogers... I'm sure Mr. Rogers would, too, if they ever did a sleepover episode of him.
They might, oh, but...
Yeah.
Okay.
So it is it
No,
is
that's...
Weird.
Okay, yeah.
If there is, like, a
if
morning...
You're, wait, hold on, but this is important. If you were listening, and you... And they ever did a Mr. Rogers episode where he got ready for bed, definitely comment on it.
Yes.
Let us know on Instagram, because...
There has to be.
Yeah, that would be very...
So it is this wild thing of, like, from morning to night, Bob Hartley was, like... ready to go. Like, he was dressed.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know if this is how it was back then or not. I do try to incorporate more full pajama sets into my wardrobe. It's a lot easier in the winter because it's very hot in the summer. I have a couple.
All right.
Those are my top five.
Thank you.
The life I live.
All right. So, on the fictional beat, how do you think your love of clothing and superheroes is connected?
Yeah, for people that aren't familiar with my past, I was a professional comic book journalist for, like, 5 years. For like, 5 to 7 years. I wrote for Marvel.com, I wrote for Comic mm-hmm. Resources. I did a lot of, you know, interviews, etc., going to Comic-Cons. I'm a professional. I was a professional in that. So, and also, Ben, you were sitting in front of 5,000 comic books in my home office.
Yep.
And a wall of X-Men. So, it's my thing. I think that it influences mostly in color choices, because I have a hard time, and this ties into cufflinks. I'm trying to buy cufflinks now. I don't know what I like unless I can attach it to a pop culture thing that I already like. And it's a weird, that might be a shortcoming. So, the reason I have these cufflinks right here, which are black with a star design on them, is specifically because...
Oh, it looks like a gray to me.
Well, yeah, I think they might have been black when they were new, but now they're more of a gray faded.
Oh, okay.
The star is... It looks a lot like a Hala star, which is Captain Marvel's symbol. And so I saw that, I was like, oh, yep, cool. That reminds me of Captain Marvel, so I want that. It's not a Captain Marvel cufflink. It's not, it's not red, blue, and yellow. Mm-hmm. It doesn't have the Marvel Comics logo on it, but it looks like that. I wear a lot of purple and green. Not because any of my favorite characters are those colors, but they're very comic booky colors, and I love, She-Hulk. Okay, She-Hulk is purple and green. So
Yeah,
exactly. I fucking love She-Hulk. And then I will also,
She-Hulk, original Recipe Hulk.
Yes, I mean, Green Goblin. Joker, Riddler, Green Goblin. Also, John Astin Riddler, I love.
I mean, those are sort of like, they started with green, and then purple becomes, the accent color,
yeah.
Right?
And then also, I do a lot of, blue and gold, because the X-Men colors, the Xavier School colors are blue and gold, so I'll incorporate a lot of that into my wardrobe, usually, swimsuits or neckties and stuff. One of the Speedos I own is pink, white, and blue because it looks a lot like the jacket that Kitty Pryde is wearing on the first page of Uncanny X-Men number 168, where she's saying Professor Xavier is a jerk. And I was like, oh, it looks just like that. So I'm buying that. It influences a lot of things in subtle ways that you don't know unless I tell you, which is my... we've talked about this before. It's my preferred way of buying branded clothing.
Yeah.
I want a Star Wars necktie that you can't tell is a Star Wars necktie unless you get very close.
Mm-hmm.
Or you know what you're looking for. That kind of stuff I think would be really cool. Instead of just one that has, looks like Darth Vader's face or something like that.
Right. Because no one in the... I feel like this is kind of a broader... Almost like a generational thing. When we were younger and there would be branded stuff for things we liked, when we were kids... It would always be the face and the logo right in the middle of the thing. And it's no, you want the thing that the characters would be wearing.
Yeah, you
want
to be in the world, not looking at the world. You want to be a part of it.
Although now I'm imagining someone walking around the Death Star with their boss's face on the tie.
Hey!
The ultimate kiss up.
Yeah. Or Darth Maul's face. It was hey man, I appreciate our history. Boom, boom. That'd be really great.
But I think the point is, right, I think, you're talking about forms of expression, and you're talking about these are also artistic forms of expression.
Yeah.
And, color palette is a big part of comics.
Oh, yeah.
And it's a big part of fashion, and, overlaying those things isn't... you kind of express a little bit of a hang-up of, maybe this is, a deficiency in something, but I don't think so. I think it's, I think you're sort of, this is a... That's kind of where you picked up a lot of that. About how those, colors. What you like, but also, And so I think sort of the fact that you're referencing that as, that's your vocabulary for deciding what colors and patterns and things that you like or what you think goes together seems totally reasonable.
I want to look up, for the Captain Marvel movie premiere, because Carol Danvers is a character that I have loved for a solid 20 years. Let me find it. So for the Captain Marvel movie premiere, which again, I didn't go to. I'm just talking about literally us going to see the preview night showing. So I wore a blue shirt with a blue tweed jacket over it, a blue Oxford button-down, blue jacket over it. The tie was a red tie with blue and gold stripes, which are Captain Marvel's colors.
Mm-hmm.
The pocket square that I wore was a Mark Powell pocket square. That is, it's a black pocket square with what looks like gold and white test tube beaker shapes pattern on it.
Huh.
And I wore that because black and gold were Carol Danvers' colors when she was Ms. Marvel.
Mm-hmm.
Her color scheme was black and gold, so that's a nod to that. And then the pin that I wore was the Holostar pin that Kelly Sue DeConnick was giving out at Heroes Con to fans for free before her run on Captain Marvel started.
Huh.
So the run that the movie is based on, that is a pin from the promotion of that run. And so that is how I incorporate all that in.
And you wore all that to go see a movie.
To go see a movie. To go to work and
nobody,
go see a movie.
And nobody said, hey man, you look too nice.
Yeah.
Right? Because that's not a thing that happens. Yeah.
But, you get a lot of what's cool is then Kelly Sue DeConnick sees that and she's like, that's great. The people that, know who that character is, love that.
Because
it's like, you didn't go in cosplay. You didn't wear, like, a full body suit or anything.
Right.
But, like, you did your own thing with that. Yeah.
Well, I want to ask now, because we talked about me asking you now.
Oh, God.
About the challenges.
Oh, right, yeah. The challenge, my loafers.
Yeah. And just do a check-in on how that go.
It has been a lot of fun. So, yeah, at the end of every episode, we always have the guests challenge me. And also the listeners, please participate using the hashtag ChallengeMyLoafers. So week one was Jesse Thorne, and Jesse Thorne challenged us to wear anything that was over like 40 years old. And I went on eBay and I found a neckerchief from the 50s. It's like maroon and tan that I like. But then when I got it, it was way too big. It was like, because I wanted to wear, I like it when a neckerchief is smaller and it can be a little more subtle, or you can be like tuck it in. This is huge. And it's like, this takes over literally everything I'm wearing. I can't just wear this as an accent. So I was like, well, I can't. I have to figure out what is an appropriate place to wear like this.
Can I ask a really dumb question?
Yeah.
Is there no trick you can like fold it smaller?
Maybe. I tried doing that, but then when I tried to fold it smaller, it was too small. It wouldn't like tie. So it was like, again, like I need a neckerchief expert to come on. And I feel like I know a couple, to be honest. So instead, I remembered that I have a vintage Artie Johnson Laughing button, so I wore that, which is a button of him as his character. Very interesting. And I think it was also around the time when it was after he passed, because I bought the button because he passed. So I love Artie Johnson. Week two was very easy. It was wear a Speedo, basically. I really cheated with that one, because that's all I wear. The Jared Harris gave us two, which was... He talked about shoes and how much he loves shoes, but then he also was like, I think people should try cufflinks. So I went and bought a pair of loafers, my first ever loafers, which is crazy because the podcast is titled this.
I know. Well, you were going to have to enlighten them sooner or later.
Yeah, so I bought a pair of Cole Haan ones from DSW because that is how much I can afford. And I love them. They're very, very good tassel black. But also the cufflinks thing. So I started recently, I bought a French cuff shirt because Jared Harris likes French cuff shirts. Mm-hmm. And I took that challenge months later. And I bought two pair of cufflinks. So now I have two. I'm starting to get into that, figure that out. Never done those before.
You haven't worn them yet.
No, I haven't. I need to iron this shirt, which I hate ironing.
that's probably a topic.
Yeah, I really don't know if I'm ironing correctly, to be honest.
No, yeah, I know. I feel like that's probably a thing where...
Episode 4, Bruce Sturgill challenged me to get out of my comfort zone, which is where I talked about wearing a t-shirt with a short sleeve button up over it, which is truly a wild example of getting out of your comfort zone, but true for me, which I think also just shows that everyone's comfort zone is vastly different. So that was mine.
That's what you're doing right now, right?
Yeah. So, hey, because I was just wearing a t-shirt, but then when you were like, oh, let's go out for lunch, I was like, oh, I need to put on another layer.
Oh.
Also, because I didn't realize it was still super hot outside. Brady's challenge in episode 5 was to incorporate more Western wear into your outfits.
Mm-hmm.
And so I wore a nice denim button-down that I own, which I feel like I might have bought on one of our Jersey Mall trips from the Levi's store. But
sounds like a Jersey thing.
Yeah, I'm very Jersey. But I wore it with a new red ascot that I bought because take Western, but make it fancy. I don't know, like that. Make it me. So I did that. Then Jonathan Fernandez, episode 6, challenged me to get something tailored, which I did. I went out and I got a navy jacket, navy sport coat, blazer, jacket. I don't know what the correct terminology is. That's another topic I need to get into.
Sport coat or blazer.
Yeah. I got that tailored, and it was more money than I was expecting, but I went through it because I know I'm going to wear it a lot, so it was worth it. It does look better, so that went well. Episode 7's challenge was to go for an unexpected color combo or show off your signature piece in a selfie. And my unexpected color combo was that same thing I got tailored.
Mm-hmm.
That's one. A blue...
Already paying for itself.
Yeah! A blue button down, a pink with blue striped tie, and hunter green pants, because I don't really see blue, green, and pink all that often. Could have been more adventurous, but, you know, that's what I had. And my signature piece is my denim jacket with a shit ton of pins on it, because that's what I like wearing, and I've always liked wearing those. And then episode 8, which I have not done yet, is Joseph Aaron Siegel's challenge to try and make a one-piece outfit work. Hmm. Like a jumpsuit. Or like a romper. No, that's the thing. Is like I don't have a jumpsuit or a romper or a romp him or whatever the fuck they were calling those for a while.
Wait, what is romp?
Yeah, like they started...
Erin Romper, he'll think is her.
I know, but like some like bro-y startup a couple years ago launched Romp Him. And I was like, whatever. So, and I have been intrigued by them trying to figure out how to make them work. But the thing is like, I can't afford to like buy one. So I'm going to try to look and see if I can find one to try on in a store and just take a dressing room photo.
Mm-hmm.
Just to see like what it looks like, because I've never done it. And I'm also suspecting that it's not going to be easy for me because my proportions are very weird. My legs are very short.
Mm.
And it sucks because Mr. Turk started making old-timey one pieces for men, like the tank top top with the like a speedo or short bottom. And I was like, oh, well, if it was still summer, I would have just bought one of those and that would have been like, check it off. But fuck, it's September. I'm not good. Maybe that's a next summer thing.
Well, you could wear indoors, right? Like...
No, so this is another thing, I don't know, we're already running pretty long, so I don't know if I want to get into my, like, rigid rules for swimsuit selfies.
No.
Yeah, because I have
save
a lot.
Save it for next summer.
I have a lot. Rigid rules.
Rigid rules for, that's...
Yeah.
I think that's actually a good way to, what other things can people look forward to in season two?
So, yeah, I think that we're going to try and settle into, I like a idea of doing 8 episodes, a wrap-up episode, and then take a month off. So, yeah, we're going to take a month off, we'll be back. First week of November.
Give ourselves some wiggle room.
No, yeah, that's true.
Watch the Instagram is the official place to look for.
Yeah, My Loafers. You'll see. I've already recorded what will probably be the season premiere, which I'm very excited about.
Mm-hmm.
Other things are in the work with more, hopefully more people from, some reality competition shows that you like.
Ooh.
Will be on. That I've gotten my feelers out. Also, other hopefully some podcast hosts that if you like menswear podcasts, hopefully.
Okay.
Yeah. You have to listen. But
I don't know.
You know, the Jared Harris thing was a beautiful miracle. I think the only bigger person is Martin Freeman. So I'm putting it out into the world, Martin Freeman, if you are listening. Jared Harris has done the podcast and he wasn't scared. That's what I'm putting out there. Also, Paul F. Tompkins is a big get that I would die. I would love to have him at some point. So, I mean...
But more to the point...
That ain't happening.
As excited as you would be, total professional once you're in the room.
Oh, 100%.
I'm saying that. I'm saying...
Yeah, everyone heard the Jared Harris episode. I didn't freak out on him.
Exactly.
Yeah.
I
keep it cool.
Keeps it cool.
So yeah, I'm looking forward to season 2. I'm looking forward to the episodes we're going to get out. I'm looking forward to learning more. I'm looking forward to fall. And yeah, follow the podcast at Enlighten My Loafers on Twitter, Instagram. Nope, just on Instagram.
Just on Instagram. Instagram's the place to...
Do everything. Because that was a lot more streamlined than having to run a million social media accounts.
Yeah. Maybe in season 3
If we get a social media intern, yes, please. Send any questions to the enlightenmyloafers@gmail.com, enlightenmyloafers@gmail.com, or through the DM on Instagram, and we'll do another mailbag episode, or I'll ask your question to a guest. Or maybe multiple guests. Thank you, Ben, for being the producer.
Happy to help.
And this is all leading to us, to both of us getting to go to Fashion Week.
Wait, cover what?
Okay. Yeah, you're going to come with me.
All right.
Thank you to Dylan Phelps for the logo, to Sam Walker for the photo. Thanks to Ben for producing. Thanks to everyone that asked questions. Thanks to everyone that has left reviews in iTunes, mm-hmm. which has been fantastic, except for the 1 2-star review. I don't know what that's about.
Hey, gotta stay hungry.
Yeah, it's like 26 5-star, then 1 2. I don't know what I did. But you know what? Screw you. Just kidding. Thank you, everyone. And I guess we'll see everyone in November.
In November.